The 8,139th meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is the situation in the Middle East, including the Palestinian issue. The agenda is adopted. In accordance with Rule 37 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite the representative of Israel to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. I propose that the Council invite the permanent observer of the Observer State of Palestine to the United Nations to participate in the meeting in accordance with the provisional rules of procedure and the previous practice in this regard. There being no objection, it is so decided. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of item 2 of the agenda. Members of the Council have before them document S/2017/1060, the text of a draft resolution submitted by Egypt. I now give the floor to those members of the Council who wish to make statements before the vote. I give the floor to the representative of Egypt.
Mr.
President, the meeting of the Security Council is held today to consider the draft resolution of Egypt on behalf of the Arab group. According to the resolution of the emergency meeting of the Arab ministerial meeting that was held in Cairo on the 9th of December 2017, the draft resolution was submitted in response to emergency situations at a crossroad of the Palestinian question. And while the Security Council is addressing the latest developments related to Jerusalem, Al-Quds Sharif, bearing in mind the serious situation in Jerusalem and the repercussions of the unilateral decision of the United States to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and I remind you here of the open briefing of the Security Council, which was held on the 8th of December, how many members of the Security Council objected to that unilateral decision. And they stress that there are no legal implications to such a decision. The Quds Sharif for Jerusalem is an issue that lies in the hearts of many peoples around the world. Undoubtedly, addressing this issue must take into consideration this very sensitive topic. However, we are well aware that the only path towards addressing this issue is to rely on the one aspect or pillar of any international conflict, that is international law, away from any religious or other beliefs, or else there will be huge repercussions of the situation that will bring back the times of chaos which have gone beyond human development. Al-Quds is one of the final status issues that must be settled through peaceful negotiation between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Any attempt at changing the facts on the ground in Jerusalem is considered one of the illegal unilateral measures that will have no legal impact whatsoever, since it comes in violation of the international law and the resolutions of international legitimacy, including the General Assembly Resolution 181 of the year 1947, which established two states, Palestine and Israel, and considered Jerusalem a corpus separatum that lies to a very particular international system, in addition to Security Council Resolutions 242 of 1967, 252 of 1968, Resolution 383 of 1973, which did not recognize any measures related to including Jerusalem to the territories of Israel, since this comes in violation of the UN Charter, which does not allow the annexation of territories. In addition, it comes in violation of Security Council Resolution 476 and 478 of the year 1918, which did not recognize any measures that will change the status quo in Jerusalem. Both resolutions refused and refuted any Israeli laws that wanted to annex Jerusalem and consider it as the capital of Israel. Security Council Resolution 2334 of 2016 renewed its stress through a very clear legal language that is very clear. It denied any attempts at altering the demographic or geographic nature of the occupied territories since 1967, including East Jerusalem. It also clearly stressed that the Security Council does not recognize any change on the lines of the 4th of June 1967, including all what's related to Al-Quds al-Sharif or Jerusalem, with the exception of those alterations that come as a result of negotiations between the two parties. Excellencies, members of the Security Council, the draft resolution stresses in its operational paragraphs that any attempt at changing or altering the character, status, or demographic composition of the Holy City of Jerusalem have no effect and are null and void and must be rescinded. Thus, we have to object to such attempts in line with relevant Security Council resolutions. The draft resolution calls upon all countries not to establish diplomatic missions in the Holy City of Jerusalem in compliance with Security Council Resolution 478 of 1980. The draft resolution demands that all states comply with the Security Council resolutions regarding the Holy City of Jerusalem and not to recognize any actions or measures contrary to those resolutions. It also reiterates its call for the reversal of the negative trends on the ground that are imperiling the two-state solution and for the intensification of international and regional efforts and support provide support aimed at achieving a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in the Middle East on the basis of the relevant United Nations resolutions and Security Council resolutions. In addition to the Madrid terms of reference, including the principle of land for peace and the Arab Peace Initiative, the Quartet Roadmap, and an end to the Israeli occupation that began in 1967. Egypt was one of the very first people who supported the Palestinian people since 1948. We will continue to follow suit until we reach full and durable peace. In light of what has been said, I call upon all members of the Security Council to vote for the draft resolution and to implement the international law, which is our main term of reference related to rights and duties concerning this critical topic and other international topics. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank the representative of Egypt for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Uruguay.
Thank you, Mr. President. We asked for the floor prior to the vote to make two comments, one procedural, one of substance. With regard to the procedure, Mr. President, the draft resolution was shared officially on Saturday, and yesterday we asked the presidency to put this in blue. That was requested, and this vote was planned for today without there having been any negotiation or consultations on the content of the text, with the exception of the meeting that has just concluded, where there was no discussion either of detail on the substance. And so, as on previous occasions, we have criticized permanent members of this Security Council for similar practices, which removes transparency from the work of this organ and forces the membership to take a decision without the ability to participate in the drafting of the text. Today, once again, we have to reaffirm that this is not the correct way to work in the Council. With regard to substance, Mr. President, we reaffirm the special status of the City of Jerusalem in accordance with resolutions of the General Assembly and in particular Resolution 181 of 1947 and those of this Security Council. Resolution 181, which Uruguay voted in favor of and which we support to this day, recognizes two states, one Arab, one Israeli, and establishes Jerusalem under an international special regime administered by the United Nations. This is the basis for the special status of Jerusalem under United Nations law and international law. And as such, it should have been used as a reference in the text of this resolution. A while ago at the previous meeting, Mr. President, we were saying that we expressed our satisfaction at the fact that so many countries today recognize the foundational character of Resolution 181 by referring indeed so much to the partition of Palestine into two states, one Israeli, one Palestinian, with a special status of Jerusalem. This is particularly important because at the time, a lot of countries did not support Resolution 181. Mr. President, the final status of Jerusalem is a question that still has to be resolved. The sovereignty and the limits of Jerusalem have to be agreed by Israel and Palestine in bilateral negotiations. Therefore, any decision, measure, or action that the parties or any third state would take contrary to this resolution, which would change the status of Jerusalem, will affect the peace process and the search for a two-state solution, a goal that is shared by virtually the entire international community. And that has been the case for decades. For seven decades now, Uruguay has been attempting to find a just solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict based on the rules of international law. For these reasons, and despite a process of presentation of the document that we would criticize, my delegation supports the draft resolution that is being submitted to the Council. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Uruguay for his statement. The Council is now ready to proceed to the vote on the draft resolution before it. I shall put the draft resolution to the vote now. Will those in favor of the draft resolution contained in document S/2017/1060 please raise their hand? Thank you. Will those against? Thank you. No abstentions. The result of the voting is as follows. 14 votes in favor, 1 vote against. The draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the Council. I now give the floor to the members of the Council who wish to make the statement after the vote. I give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have been the proud representative of the United States at the United Nations for nearly a year now. This is the first time I have exercised the American right to veto a resolution in the Security Council. The exercise of the veto is not something the United States does often. We have not done it in more than 6 years. We do it with no joy, but we do it with no reluctance. The fact that this veto is being done in defense of American sovereignty and in defense of America's role in the Middle East peace process is not a source of embarrassment for us. It should be an embarrassment to the remainder of the Security Council. As I pointed out when we discussed this topic 10 days ago, I will once again note the features of the President's announcement on Jerusalem that are most relevant here. The President took great care not to prejudge final status negotiations in any way, including the specific boundaries of Israeli sovereignty in Jerusalem. That remains a subject to be negotiated only by the parties. The position is fully in line with the previous Security Council resolutions. The President was also careful to state that we support the status quo regarding Jerusalem's holy sites, and we support a two-state solution if that's what the parties agree to. Again, these positions are fully consistent with the previous Security Council resolutions. It is highly regrettable that some are trying to distort the President's position to serve their own agendas. What is troublesome to some people is not that the United States has harmed the peace process. We have, in fact, done no such thing. Rather, what is troublesome to some people is that the United States had the courage and honesty to recognize a fundamental reality. Jerusalem has been the political, cultural, and spiritual homeland of the Jewish people for thousands of years. They have had no other capital city. But the United States' recognition of the obvious, that Jerusalem is the capital and seat of the modern Israeli government, is too much for some. First, some have threatened violence on the street, as if violence would somehow improve the prospects of peace. Now today, buried in diplomatic jargon, some presume to tell America where to put our embassy. The United States has a sovereign right to determine where and whether we establish an embassy. I suspect very few member states would welcome Security Council pronouncements about their sovereign decisions. And I think of some who should fear it. It's worth noting that this is not a new American position. Back in 1980, when Jimmy Carter was the American president, the Security Council voted on Resolution 478, which called upon diplomatic missions to relocate from Jerusalem. The United States did not support Resolution 478. In his remarks, then Secretary of State Ed Muskie said the following, quote, "The draft resolution before us today is illustrative of a preoccupation which has produced this series of unbalanced and unrealistic texts on Middle East issues." Specifically regarding the provision on diplomatic missions in Jerusalem, Secretary Muskie said this, quote, "In our judgment, this provision is not binding. It is without force, and we reject it as a disruptive attempt to dictate to other nations. It does nothing to promote a resolution of the difficult problems facing Israel and its neighbors. It does nothing to advance the cause of peace." That was in 1980. It is equally true today. The United States will not be told by any country where we can put our embassy. Buried even deeper in the jargon of this resolution is the accusation that the United States is setting back the prospects of peace in the Middle East. That is a scandalous charge. Those who are making it should consider that it only harms the very Palestinian people they claim to speak for. What does it gain the Palestinian people for their leaders to throw up roadblocks to negotiations? A peace process that is damaged by the simple recognition that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel is not a peace process. It is a justification for an endless stalemate. What does it gain the Palestinian people for some of their leaders to accuse the United States of being hostile to the cause of peace? It gains them nothing, but it risks costing them a great deal. The United States has done more than any other country to assist the Palestinian people, by far. Since 1994, we have given over $5 billion to the Palestinians in bilateral economic assistance, security assistance, and humanitarian assistance. The United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees operates schools and medical facilities throughout the region. It is funded almost entirely by voluntary contributions. Last year, the United States voluntarily funded almost 30% of UNRWA's budget. That's more than the next two largest donors combined. And it's vastly more than some of the members of this council that have considerable financial resources of their own. I'll be blunt. When the American people see a group of countries whose total contributions to the Palestinian people is less than 1% of UNRWA's budget, when they see these countries accuse the United States of being insufficiently committed to peace, the American people lose their patience. I have been to the Palestinian refugee camps the United States supports with their contributions. I have met with men, women, and children there. I have advocated on their behalf. I can tell you that their leaders do them no favors by being more open to abandoning peace negotiations than to doing the hard work of seeing them to completion. The United States has never been more committed to peace in the Middle East. We were committed to it before the President announced our recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and we're committed to it today. What we witnessed here today in the Security Council is an insult. It won't be forgotten. It's one more example of the United Nations doing more harm than good in addressing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Today, for the simple act of deciding where to put our embassy, the United States was forced to defend its sovereignty. The record will reflect that we did so proudly. Today, for acknowledging a basic truth about the capital city of Israel, we are accused of harming peace. The record will reflect that we reject that outrageous claim. For these reasons, and with the best interests of both the Israeli and the Palestinian people firmly in mind, the United States votes no on this resolution. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the United States of America for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the United Kingdom.
Thank you, Mr. President. The United Kingdom voted in favor of the draft resolution before us today because it is in line with previous UN Security Council resolutions, including 242, 476, 478, and 2334, and with our established position on the status of Jerusalem. That position is clear and long-standing. The status of Jerusalem should be determined through a negotiated settlement between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and should ultimately be the shared capital of the Israeli and Palestinian states. In line with those same resolutions, we regard East Jerusalem as part of the occupied Palestinian territories. As we have previously said, we disagree with the US decisions unilaterally to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel before a final status agreement and to move the US embassy to Jerusalem. As recent events in the region have shown, these decisions are unhelpful to the prospects for peace in the region, a name that all of us in this council remain committed to. The British Embassy to Israel is based in Tel Aviv, and we have no plans to move it. Importantly, the resolution that has just been voted on stressed that Jerusalem is a final status issue to be resolved through negotiations, affirmed that decisions and actions which purport to have altered the character, status, or demographic composition of the Holy City of Jerusalem have no legal effect, demanded that all states comply with Security Council resolutions regarding Jerusalem, and called for the intensification and acceleration of international and regional efforts to achieve a just and lasting peace in the Middle East without delay. Our position since the Security Council met on the 8th of December has not changed. We recognize that Jerusalem holds huge significance and holiness for Jews, Muslims, and Christians. We reiterate the fundamental necessity of maintaining the status quo at the holy sites, in particular the Temple Mount Haram al-Sharif. We continue to value Jordan's important role as custodian of the holy sites and remain fully supportive of their efforts to maintain calm. Mr. President, we must now all look forward. We share President Trump's desire to bring an end to this conflict, and we welcome his commitment to a two-state solution negotiated between the parties. This includes his clear acknowledgement that the final status of Jerusalem, including the sovereign boundaries within the city, must be subject to negotiations between the parties. Our commitment to and position on an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement has also not changed. It should be based on the lines as they stood on June the 4th, 1967, with equal land swaps to reflect the national security and religious interests of the Jewish and Palestinian peoples. Jerusalem should be the shared capital of the Israeli and Palestinian states, and its status must be determined through a final status agreement. A just, fair, agreed, and realistic settlement for refugees is needed that is demographically compatible with the principle of two states for two peoples. This position is consistent with the resolution before us. We now strongly encourage the US administration to bring forward detailed proposals for an Israeli-Palestinian settlement. We call on all parties to act with restraint, reject violence, and work together to ensure calm and stability. This will give the peace process the best chance of success. We remain fully supportive of progress towards a lasting peace and will do everything we can to achieve it. Mr. President, any peace effort needs to take account of the people, not just the land and the holy sites. For too long, Israelis have lived in fear of rockets and terror. This wreaks havoc in people's daily lives and renders peace hard to achieve, as do attempts by some to deny the ancient and legitimate connection of the Jewish and Palestinian peoples to Jerusalem. For Palestinians living outside East Jerusalem, including the Old City, many are effectively cut off from it. Those that can enter have to wait in long lines to pass through checkpoints. Within East Jerusalem live more than 320,000 Palestinians. The vast majority are permanent residents, but their permits can be revoked at any point. If they apply for Israeli citizenship, and most do not, a high proportion of applications are rejected. The lives of Jews and Palestinians, and for both groups, Jerusalem is uniquely holy, must not be forgotten in any peace effort. I once again reaffirm our strong support for renewed peace negotiations between the Israelis and Palestinians as soon as possible. These should be supported by the international community and realize the vision of UN General Assembly Resolution 181, whose 70th anniversary we marked last month, a safe and secure Israel, the homeland for the Jewish people, living alongside a viable and sovereign Palestinian state, the homeland for the Palestinian people. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the United Kingdom for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of France.
Mr. President, France regrets the outcome of the vote today, and we would like to thank Egypt for the quality of the work that it has accomplished and thank it for the balanced approach that it followed. This vote was a foregone conclusion for us for four reasons that I would like to refer to today. First of all, this draft resolution confirms an international consensus on Jerusalem that has been built over decades and today, which is translated into international law. The decisions announced by the President of the United States, which we regret, do not in any way modify the common foundation on which all peace agreement must be based. As President Macron said, the status of Jerusalem concerns all of the international community. It has been dealt with by several resolutions of the Security Council. It is therefore normal that the Security Council be seized of this issue today and reaffirm the principles and the framework which it defined on Jerusalem, in particular through resolutions 476 and 478. This is what the text does, no more, no less, the text on which we have voted. The status of Jerusalem must be examined by the parties in the framework of a peace agreement. In the absence of an agreement, in accordance with the consensus that has prevailed for 70 years within the international community, France does not recognize any sovereignty over Jerusalem. Also, following the conflict of June 1967, we did not recognize the annexation of East Jerusalem, which is part of the occupied territories under international law. Also in 1980, we did not recognize the unilateral acts taken by Israel concerning Jerusalem. Before and after the Israeli Basic Law entitled Jerusalem, Capital of Israel, this council adopted resolutions 476 and 478, which, amongst other things, state two principles that this council has been called upon to pronounce itself. All decision or action aimed at altering the state of Jerusalem or its geographic, demographic, or historic characteristics is considered null and void and must be abandoned. All member states of the United Nations which have established diplomatic missions in Jerusalem, must withdraw them from this city. That is what happened following Resolution 478, without any exception. What was at stake then as today is no more, no less than the clear Jewish link with Jerusalem, but also the political framework and parameters for a resolution to the conflict. The result of the vote today translates the will of 14 members of this council to reaffirm its collective attachment to international law, in particular resolutions of this council, on an essential issue, namely the status of Jerusalem. This is decisive for any prospect for peace. It underscores the willingness of a broad majority of the members of the council to not recognize any decision contrary to its resolutions. And this is what is requested in the draft presented by Egypt. With regard to the United States, their voice and position obviously have a particular impact. It is incumbent upon them to explain the compatibility of the announcement made by the President on the 6th of December with international consensus, without which no credible effort at peace can be conducted. Because let's be under no illusion, and this is my second point, without an agreement on Jerusalem, there will be no peace agreement. France and its partners in the European Union believe that Jerusalem has the vocation to become the capital of two states, Israel and Palestine, according to modalities that must be defined by the parties through negotiation. No unilateral decision can replace this. We all know that there is no other solution than that of two states. The solution of a single state where two regimes of citizenship would coexist is an illusion which would mark the ruin of the national aspirations of the Palestinians and the democratic aspirations of the Israelis. Neither the parties nor the international community could resign themselves to this. To take this further and be absolutely clear, there is no alternative to the solution of two states. And there is no solution of two states without an agreement between the parties on Jerusalem, and no agreement is possible on Jerusalem outside of the internationally recognized parameters. We have noted the willingness expressed on the 6th of December last by the President of the United States to support the two-state solution. We express the wish that this will open the way to a return of the United States to the consensus of the international community. My third point is the question, the issue that the status of Jerusalem must take into account the reality on the ground in this city as experienced by its inhabitants. This is what the Council did through its resolutions adopted over the decades on Jerusalem, which are reflected in the draft on which we have just voted. The reality of Jerusalem is not limited to one single story. More than 300,000 Palestinians live there, representing around 40% of the population of this city. It is an Israeli city and a Palestinian city. It should in the future become the capital of two states, but it is already the city of the two populations which coexist there. Fourth point, the historic and religious importance of Jerusalem makes it a key part of solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but also makes it very important to regional and international stability. More than ever before, there is a need to preserve the status quo on the holy sites of Jerusalem, and more specifically, the status quo of 1967 on Al-Haram al-Sharif. This must be reaffirmed. But over and above this, any approach to the question of Jerusalem overall must avoid focusing tensions in the city. The risk that we really do have to be aware of is that a political conflict, which could be subject to compromise as such, could be converted into a religious conflict, which by its very nature would be intractable. Only the radicals would gain to the detriment of moderates in the region. Finally, this is my fifth and last point, we are following with concern the situation on the ground. We've seen 10 days of confrontations which have led to the deaths of at least 8 people and hundreds of wounded, Gaza, the West Bank, and several areas of Jerusalem. The reprisal of rocket fire from Gaza, which we can firmly condemn, is also a worrying sign. We must do everything we can to prevent an escalation of the situation on the ground. That's why we continue to call upon everyone to show restraint and to deploy all efforts necessary to see a return to calm. Over and above this, there are the negative effects on the region caused by the announcement of the 6th of December and the way that this can be interpreted. These effects must be avoided. We would call upon all regional players, indeed, to help calm the situation. In the context of tensions on the ground and regional crises, it is indispensable to recall our collective attachment to the preservation of the parameters agreed on the status of Jerusalem. The vote today has provided us this opportunity, despite its predicted outcome. Through the question of Jerusalem, we see not only the preservation of the solution of the two states, but also the realization of the aspirations of both parties, but also respect for international law, the resolutions of this Security Council, and the very legitimacy of this council. Mr. President, allow me to conclude by stressing three points briefly. Given its symbolism, Jerusalem is really the key for peace between Israel and Palestine. Without an agreement on Jerusalem, there cannot be a peace agreement. This is why the outcome of Jerusalem, the situation on Jerusalem, can only be decided by the parties themselves with the support of the United Nations and not through a unilateral decision. Now, today, there is a body of international law and there is an international consensus on the two-state solution with Jerusalem as a capital for both states and parameters that have been would be agreed upon for resolving the situation. The Egyptian text simply recalls these various elements. And this is why France, of course, voted in favor of this text. As a permanent member of the Security Council, as a friend of both Israel and Palestine, France will spare no effort to bring the parties to the table of negotiation and to achieve an agreement in accordance with the resolutions of this Council. There's no shortcut to this very hard path, and France will continue to speak truth to both parties on this issue, which, once again I underscore, is key to stability in the whole of the Middle East. And that's why it's essential that we don't cease our efforts, that we continue to meet in the Council and ensure that we can play our full role on this crucial issue. And you can be assured of the commitment to this end of France. I thank you.
I thank the representative of France for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Senegal.
Mr. President, the delegation of Senegal has supported the resolution drafted by Egypt, and which aims at recalling the parameters surrounding the historic and political issues of Jerusalem, which is very dear to the parties to the conflict, the Israelis and the Palestinians, but also the entire world. The Holy City represents is symbol for the three monotheistic Abrahamic religions, which is why we pay tribute to Jordan in their capacity as the guarantor of the holy sites alongside with the Jewish people. We have to preserve the international consensus on the status of Jerusalem, which the Israeli parties and the Palestinian parties, with the support of the international community, in particular the Security Council, need to consider when they discuss the final status issues. We need to preserve the legal and historic status of Jerusalem to make sure that the Holy City can keep its identity, the spirit of tolerance, openness, and sharing, which is as always characterized. That is a reason why Senegal calls for, yet once again, strict respect of the status quo as regards Jerusalem, in line with the international parameters which are acknowledged and recognized, in particular through resolutions 476, 478, 2334 of the Security Council. These parameters were earlier determined by the foundational resolution of the General Assembly 181, which enshrined the Jerusalem as capital for the two states. Jerusalem, whose final status is qualified as corpus separatum in this very resolution 181. It's an opportunity for us to launch an appeal to the parties to display the greatest restraint and avoid escalation at this very difficult moment. The outcome of the vote, Mr. President, should not lead to desperation or lead us to give up. Quite the contrary is true. We need to persevere and build on the basis of the agreed long-standing parameters, but also on the already existing initiatives, including the Arab Peace Initiative. And let's say very loudly the laudable efforts made by the American administration in the field, on the ground. Thank you.
Representative of Senegal for his statement. I give the floor to the representative of Ethiopia.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ethiopia is a friend, Mr. President, about which we are not bashful, and is displayed quite openly to both the Israelis and the Palestinians. And our position on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has always been consistent, and we believe principled. As much as we support the right of Israel to exist in peace and security, we also support the inalienable right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, as well as their right to exist as a free and independent state. This is consistent not only with the relevant United Nations resolutions, but also with that of the decisions of our continental organization, the African Union. With regard to the recent developments surrounding the issue of Jerusalem, we have had the opportunity to express our position on the matter during the emergency meeting of this council held on the 8th of December. We believe it is a final status issue that must be resolved through direct negotiations between the two parties on the basis of the relevant Security Council and General Assembly resolutions, taking into account the legitimate concerns of both the Palestinian and Israeli sides. The draft resolution tabled by Egypt today reaffirms this long-standing principle by the United Nations, and that's why we supported it. It was a well-balanced draft that Egypt tabled. Although the draft could not be adopted, there is no denying the fact that the latest developments have once again brought the Israeli-Palestinian dispute back to the fore, underscoring the urgency of reinvigorating the peace process without any further delay. In this connection, it is absolutely important to work towards easing tensions and restoring calm as a matter of urgency. It's also vital that the parties tone down the rhetoric and refrain from taking actions that could further aggravate the already tense situation. Over and above all, however, removing the long-standing obstacles which have hindered progress so far is imperative in order to create the necessary conditions for the resumption of direct negotiations between the two parties. This, we believe, should be done on the basis of the two-state formula, which still remains the only viable option for peace. That's why we supported the call for the intensification and acceleration of international and regional efforts aimed at achieving a comprehensive, lasting, and just solution. In spite of the lack of unity today, it is incumbent upon this Council to discharge its responsibilities and support such efforts for the sake of peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and peace in the broader Middle East region. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Ethiopia for his statement. I give the floor to the representative of the Russian Federation.
Mr. President, we would like to thank the special coordinator on the Middle East, Mr. Mladenov, for the informative briefing. Mr. Mladenov, we fully support the work you are making. You are an objective broker. We in Moscow are following very closely the development of the situation on the Palestinian-Israeli track. We are convinced that the solution of the issue of Palestine is something that is of fundamental importance for the purpose of the long-term normalization of the situation in the Middle East. No other regional challenges can obscure this fact. And the persistent vacuum in the political process is something that gives rise to a deep concern on our part. Under these conditions, any kind of unilateral action strengthens the risk of the conflict spiraling and make it more difficult to relaunch direct Palestinian-Israeli negotiations. There was a serious criticism which became mass protest, and it was a reaction to the recent decision made by Washington on Jerusalem. And this is understandable, given that Jerusalem is the cradle of three monotheistic religions, is the most and the most sensitive issue in the peace process architecture. We are of the view that the issue, this issue of the city, need to be considered on the basis of known international recognized basis within the framework of a bilateral dialogue between the Palestinians and Israelis, and we call upon all parties to show restraint and refrain from any action which could be fraught with dangerous consequences. We cannot forget that this exact kind of methodology for settlement was approved in many a resolution by the Security Council, which were being passed over the past decades and there remain fully enforced today. Against the background of the settlement activity by Israel, the provocative rhetoric on both sides, the outbursts of violence, and also the very difficult humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip, we continue hearing that the prospect of the two-state solution is being diluted. At the same time, we remain committed to the kind of decision which provides for an existence in peace and security with Israel of an independent state of Palestine with a capital in East Jerusalem. The West Jerusalem will be the capital of the State of Israel. And we welcome the further strengthening of the unity of the Palestinian people with the assistance and leadership of Egypt. We think that this is a movement in the right direction. We, in turn, will continue encouraging all Palestinian parties to overcome the internal rift as quickly as possible. Comprehensive and just settlement in the Middle East is something that can only be attained provided there is a firm international legal basis, the kind of basis which includes the relevant resolutions of the Security Council, the Madrid Peace Principles, and the Arab Peace Initiative. Russia will continue helping on the bilateral basis, as well as through the Middle Eastern Quartet of International Mediators, will help intensifying the international efforts to find the ways out of the current impasse in the Middle East settlement. We think that it is important to underscore the energetic role played by the regional players here, Egypt and Jordan in particular. At the same time, we need to ensure that the Middle United Nations Agency on the Relief and Work Agency needs to be assisted, because this is a main mechanism of alleviating the burden of the Palestinian refugees in the Middle East. And ultimately, it is in extending assistance to those Arab states where the refugees find themselves. We think that under current conditions and on the scale of the whole region, the issue of moving as quickly as possible towards direct Israeli-Palestinian negotiations is becoming increasingly topical. And because of this, we reiterate the relevance of our proposal to conduct a summit in Russia, a summit between the leaders of Palestine and Israel. We are ready to become an honest mediator here. We support trust-based and friendly relations with all peoples in the Middle East without exception, Israelis, Palestinians, Arabs. Our links are not burdened by the negative heritage of the past. The Russian political practice never used the methods of colonialism or the interference in internal affairs, which, let's be honest, became the reason of the lamentable situation that we have in the region today. But we cannot give up. Let's look into the future. The priority task remains the same. It's pooling our efforts in fighting terrorism and also when it comes to settling regional conflicts. This could be helped if we implemented the initiative launched by the Foreign Minister Lavrov on conducting within the Security Council of a comprehensive review of the situation in the Middle East, and we stand ready for such a cooperation. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the Russian Federation for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Sweden.
Thank you, Mr. President. We regret that the Council was unable to adopt the resolution before us. We have recently in this Council outlined in detail the reasons to why we disagreed with the US recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and with the plan for a move of the US embassy to that city. We voted in favor of this draft resolution for a number of reasons. Firstly, it stresses that Jerusalem is a final status issue and can therefore only be resolved through negotiations in line with relevant UN resolutions. Furthermore, it reaffirms that the Holy City of Jerusalem, as a city holy to three religions, has a specific status. Most importantly, it reaffirms the view of this Council expressed in previous resolutions that any decision and actions which purport to have altered the character and status of Jerusalem have no legal effect and must be rescinded. We also agree with the call upon all states to refrain from the establishment of diplomatic missions in Jerusalem in line with this Council's Resolution 478. The European Union has a firm position on Jerusalem, which explains why all EU member states on this Council voted in favor of the resolution today. I'd like also to state clearly that today's vote does not impact the resolutions adopted by this Council. The status of Jerusalem under international law remains unchanged. Finally, Mr. President, and looking forward, we urgently need to relaunch the peace process. It is high time to show commitment and to move ahead with a detailed peace plan that addresses all final status issues in a manner consistent with known parameters. This Council has a responsibility. All stakeholders, including regional actors, should now engage more than ever for peace in the Middle East. I thank you very much.
I thank the representative of Sweden for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Italy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Italy supported this resolution as it reaffirms well-established principles and messages already enshrined in several previous Security Council resolutions on the issue of Jerusalem. The text is consistent with Italy's position on this matter. As mentioned already at the emergency meeting of this Council on December 8, we believe that the status of Jerusalem as the future capital of two states need to be negotiated between Israel and Palestine within the framework of a peace process that will eventually lead to the establishment of two states, living side by side in peace and security, taking into account the legitimate concerns and aspirations of both parties. We also supported the resolution as it opens a political horizon rooted in the two-state solution and in the intensification of international and regional efforts towards a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in the Middle East. In this regard, we continue to see a crucial role to be played by the United States We look forward to hearing the views of the U.S. administration on possible proposals for an Israeli-Palestinian settlement building on the extensive contacts and intense dialogue developed with all parties over the past year. Mr. President, at the same time, we reiterate deep concern for the increased tension over the past weeks, and we have reaffirmed here our firm condemnation of the latest rocket attacks against Israel. An escalation of violence would be negative for all parties and must be prevented. We call on all actors in Palestine and in the Middle East to show responsibility and exercise restraint. The only way forward is through negotiations and the rejection of violence. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Italy for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Ukraine.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, the delegation of Ukraine voted in favor of the draft resolution proposed by Egypt on the status of Jerusalem. We are convinced that the issue of Jerusalem is a final status issue that needs to be resolved through negotiations only and in a strict compliance with the relevant Security Council resolutions, including 476 and 478 of 1980 and 2334 of 2016. This draft resolution also reaffirms the inadmissibility of the acquisition of territory by force. Ukraine knows too well the consequences of violation of this principle. We are strongly convinced that there is no other viable alternative to the two-state solution. We urge both sides to engage in a constructive negotiations process in a goodwill and with no preconditions. Given the highly sensitive nature of the issue of Jerusalem for all sides involved, we hope that the current escalation can be contained and will not get out of control. Finally, Mr. President, I would like to add my delegation's voice to the procedural point raised by the distinguished colleague from Uruguay. I urge the remaining and incoming members of this Council to take it into serious consideration. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Ukraine for his statement.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR, Community Public Radio. I'm your host, Don DeBar.